We extend Christian greetings to each one and welcome each one to this part of the service. I can say that I was blessed already being here so far. The devotional that Brother Nathan shared, God is interested in the little things of life. There's nothing too small. He created it all. As I was contemplating a message for today, I did not know if I should share a Christmas message or otherwise. Christmas still being just about a week away, but I felt led to share on a Christmas story. And I was so blessed with what the school children shared, so I hope they can bear with me as we go through this again. I hope and pray and trust that God will maybe shed some new light on you. And each one, as we're here, is one thing about the Bible and the Christmas story, if you will, it never gets old. I hope that we find it that way. When we think of Christmas, how many of us have already kind of felt run down with all the busyness that goes on with Christmas? How many of us have already thought, well, this year it's going to be different. This year we're going to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. But then we get distracted by all the shopping and get-togethers and we wear ourselves out, lose sight of our first intentions. You know, I've already heard say that sometimes it takes close to a year to catch up with all your bills from all the Christmas spending. And so it's kind of like a cycle that just repeats itself. The key to Christmas is to remember what it is supposed to celebrate, the birth of Jesus Christ. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be Christmas. So the key is to keep our eyes on him and not allow ourselves to become distracted by all the material displays and the going-ons around us. We do good to take time to reflect, meditate on why Jesus' birth was so important. He didn't stay a baby. He went on to the cross. He suffered and died. He paid the penalty for me, for you. He suffered and died for us that we could be a part of his family forever. Forever. You see, when God created the world, if we would go back to that, Genesis 1, when God established this planet Earth, he also established certain laws that we cannot come away from. And one law that he established is the law of gravity, just in simple form. If I hold something out and drop it, it falls. Gravity, the pull of gravity. Man has discovered that when he travels away from this planet far enough, he's no longer bound by those laws. And when you come out into space away from the atmosphere of this planet, things just float, because which way is up, which way is down? It's just there. But here with this planet, the law of gravity is in effect. And if you release something up from up here, it goes down. It's the pull, the gravitational pull of the Earth. There's another law that was also established, and that is that the wages of sin is death. That is a law that we cannot get away from. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Hebrew writer would say that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When we look in Genesis chapter 3, we read there of the fall of man, the falling into sin. We also read of the first time that Jesus, I mean, that God spoke to Adam about sending a redeemer. That's also there. And I would like to just say this and say this carefully, but if man was able to fall into sin from a perfect environment, how much easier is it for us being born in that evil environment? And not only from that perfect environment, but before that sin, even in heaven, there was sin by the devil, by Satan, in a perfect place. But for angels, there was no remedy for sin. The Revelation writer says that there was war in heaven and Satan and his angels were cast out. No remedy for sin for angels. But God found a remedy for us humans. But that remedy was expensive. It took the shedding of blood, and it took the shedding of blood of his own son, so that you and so that I could be a part of his family forever. I would like for us to imagine how life was 2,000 years ago. There were no cars, trucks, automobiles. You never look up into the sky and see an airplane, helicopter, jets. This was way before any of that. Tractors working in the fields, nothing like that. There was a lot of handwork. Any kind of travel was either walking or by horse or donkey. Maybe by cart. There was nothing like the roar of automobiles or jet engines or if you will. This was before that kind of technology came on the scene. I would like to take us back there as I go through this account. You see, God gave the promise of a redeemer in Genesis 3. And he renewed that promise time and again with different individuals, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and different prophets. And today in our Sunday school lesson, we had of the prophet Isaiah talking about this sign that God was giving of a child being born. We come on down through the prophets to Malachi. Isaiah, when Isaiah spoke, if I have it right, that was like maybe 700 or 800 years before Christ was born. Coming down to the prophet Malachi, Malachi prophesied about John the Baptist, if you will. Malachi said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I refer to that as John the Baptist because if you look in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus had been transfigured with Peter, James, and John, and coming down from the mountain, he told them to not tell anybody about this till after his resurrection. And then the disciples asked him, Peter, James, and John, there, they said, "Why are the scribes saying that Elias must come first?" And then Jesus told them that, "I say unto you, Elias is coming, but he was already here." And then it says that the disciples knew then that he was talking about John the Baptist. But after Malachi spoke as a prophet, it seemed like God sending prophets to speak was just shut off. And there it was shut off for like 400 years. If you look in the Bible, my side column here where Malachi spoke this was like 397 BC. It was just like everything was shut off. And 400 years is a long time. How many generations is that without a word from the Lord? There's in my Bible, someone wrote in there, 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. It's just nothing. I would like to speak out of Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, and then also some out of Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you want to follow along, feel free to do so. But it was a time in Judea that in all these silent years that I'm talking about here, there was always a remnant of people who were still faithful to God. They faithfully, I think, went to the reading of the law, and they lived the best that they knew. Now, I would like to say this, that people, there were not that many people, I don't think, that were able to read. They did not have near the books we do. And there were a limited amount of people that could read. And so in order to hear the law, people would have to get together to the temple at their normal worship times and hear the law being read by someone who could read. And the word of God was precious in those days. Well, it was in one of these gatherings that they had come together, and there was a multitude of people outside the temple that were praying. And there was a man there, an older man by the name of Zacharias. And it was his turn to serve in the temple in the burning of incense. And while the people were outside praying, he went in to burn this incense. And when he come in there, there was an angel there, and it scared him. The angel told him to not be afraid, but he said that he is going to give him a promise that God is going to give him and his wife Elizabeth a son. And Zacharias kind of doubted that, because he said him and Elizabeth are both well stricken in years. And I think that meant that they were already older. And after somehow the angel communicated with him and told him that because of his doubting his message from God, he's not going to be able to talk till this promise happens. And so when Zacharias was finished with that back there, and the angel had left, and he finished what he was doing back there, he came out to the people, but he was speechless. He was not able to talk. But he motioned with his hands, and the people got the feeling that this man saw some kind of vision back there. But it says that Zacharias continued to serve in the temple till his time was over, and then he went back home. And when he went back home, it says that Elizabeth, his wife, conceived. And after she was about 6 months along, this same angel, and the angel that had come to Zacharias there, his name was Gabriel. There was in a different place in Nazareth, which I think was a town in the province of Galilee, this young lady, a virgin, by the name of Mary. And I don't know for sure what Mary was doing. I don't know if she was maybe grinding at a millstone, grinding some grain, but all of a sudden, this angel was there. And this angel was there, and he told her that we'll just read some right here. Start in Luke chapter 1. says in verse 26, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Then it says that Mary, after her encounter with the angel, he told her about Elizabeth. And if you would imagine yourself being in Mary's shoes, would you not want to go visit Elizabeth? So that's what Mary did. She went to see Elizabeth. And we'll continue reading here. It says, Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was like when Mary knocked on the door, someone might have opened the door and probably exclaimed, and Mary probably exclaimed to whoever she met there, I wondered if it was Zacharias. But Zacharias couldn't speak. And so Mary spoke. And as soon as Elizabeth heard this, it says her child leaped in her womb. And I'd like for you to take note here. Now, Elizabeth prophesied. And this is what she said. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That is what Elizabeth said. Now take note, Mary also prophesied, this young girl. This is now what Mary said. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And it says, And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So if Mary stayed there, Mary got there when Elizabeth was like 6 months along. She stayed there for about 3 months. Elizabeth was about full term. And then Mary went back to her house, went back home. And shortly after Mary left, Elizabeth had a baby. And they called his name John, as the angel told them to. And the relatives that were there when John was born, they did not think it right to call him John. That's what Elizabeth said that his name was supposed to be. So they asked Zacharias, what do you call the child? And he wrote on a piece of paper and said they called to call him John. And whenever, as soon as Zacharias did that, his speech returned to him. And then Zacharias prophesied. And this was about 3 months after Elizabeth and Mary had. Then Zacharias spoke. And this was concerning John the Baptist, his son. It says, and Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And this is talking about John the Baptist. And you know, I had to think to myself, how successful would Jesus' ministry have been if it weren't for John the Baptist opening up the way there? You know, if Jesus, when he started his ministry, would have been the first one to come on the scene, I wonder if some of the things would have tried to happen to him that happened to John. And when John's work was finished, he was killed, as was Jesus. But Jesus gave his life. But I would like to impress on us what John the Baptist did was also very important. He was also prophesied by Malachi. But take note, here were three prophecies that came, two by women, one by Zacharias, and this was after 400 years of silence, that people were filled with the Holy Ghost and had something to say, and it was recorded, it was written down, what they said, and we have it here. Turning back to Matthew, when Mary accepted what the angel told her and she was with child, I really don't think that she realized what she was in for. You see, she was 3 months along when she left Elizabeth, roughly. And when she came back home, she was no longer able to hide the fact that she was carrying a child. And there was a severe penalty for a woman that was involved in something ungodly of that sort. And if you look in the account in Matthew chapter 1, who in the world would believe a story like the one that Mary had to tell? Even Joseph, a godly man, was minded to put her away. And I can only imagine how her parents felt. But I do not know what all Mary had to go through. The Bible does not say much. But if you look in Matthew chapter 1, God himself, it got to the extent that God himself had to intervene. And the angel came and gave Joseph a dream. And in that dream, he communicated to Joseph that what Mary told him was true. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." This was Mary. "But he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Going back over to Luke chapter 2, we have the account of how that Caesar Augustus put out a proclamation that all the world should be taxed. And in that, I find it kind of interesting, Joseph, being in the lineage of David, his hometown was Bethlehem. You see, David's father, Jesse, was a Bethlehemite. And all these generations, I don't know how many hundreds of years that would have been, Joseph, being in the lineage of David, was still from Bethlehem. And so he went to his hometown to be taxed. And I can only imagine the fuss that Mary's mom might have made when Mary said she wanted to go with him. Here she was almost 9 months along, and, you know, she couldn't, like, jump into a car to go. This was donkey travel or walking. And Bethlehem was like 90 miles away from Nazareth. 5 or 6 days' journey. But Mary went. And after getting there, the place was packed and full. No room in the inn. And so they ended up sleeping in the barn. Cattle barn. If you read history, it gives it that there might have been an underground enclosure that might have had a roof built out from the rocks as an overhanging projection, and that they went in there. And the Bible says that she was in a manger. A cattle trough is another word for that. And I think you all are probably maybe more familiar with the story than I was of what all transpired there. But baby Jesus was born that night in a barn. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a cattle trough. And meantime, while this stuff was going on, out in the hills, there were some shepherds taking care of their sheep. And this was at night, and I am inclined to think that they might have had a fire going. Some of them were probably sleeping, when all of a sudden an angel appeared unto them. I have a history book at home that gives a very interesting account of that by someone who interviewed of these shepherds that were there. And it talked about how it lighted up, and this angel was there. And these angels, the sky was filled with them then too. And it was a bright light that shone, and it explained it kind of like moonlight. But it was brighter than day. But it was not like a source of the light coming from any particular place. And it started way up in the heavens and just kind of came down and just lighted everything up. But the main thing, they had a message there. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." I'd like to read this, what the angel said. He told them to fear not, because when they first saw this, they were scared. They'd never seen nothing like this before. How many people get to see a sight like that going through life? The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." I'd like for you to take note of this next phrase. It's found in Luke 2, verse 10. It says, "Which shall be to all people," and that includes us. This news that they're bringing is to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. That is another thing that I would like to share here, that God's message is, his desire is peace and goodwill toward men. And may we wish that to each other as well. And it says that these shepherds, after the angelic host departed, they very quickly wanted to make haste and go and see if this was true. Was this just a vision? I can only imagine how they talked. Did you see that? Am I dreaming? No, they all seen it. Well, they're going to go see if this was true. And imagine the concern Mary had when these rough-looking farmers came walking in to the barn. I can only imagine that they wanted to hold him. And they told Joseph and Mary the wonderful things that they had experienced out in the field. And they later, in verse 17, it says they made it known abroad the things that they had seen and experienced there. But Mary, she kept all these things in her heart. And then, meantime, shortly after this, if you go back to Matthew, we read about the wise men. I was in communication with an older Amish bishop one time, back in 2013. He told me that he had a big history book that was in German. And he said in that book, it says that these wise men were descendants of Abraham that he had by his second wife, Keturah. You see, that those of his children, he settled them into the East Country. And that book said that these wise men were descendants of Abraham, and that's how they knew about the birth of Jesus coming. And so they came into the town of Jerusalem there asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we're here to worship him. And so they inquired of King Herod. And so Herod quickly asked the officers or people that he had, those that were familiar with the law. And they said, well, he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And so he came back and he told the wise men to search diligently. And he said, when you find the child, bring me word so I can come and worship him too. Well, when these wise men got back out, they again saw the star. And I gather that Mary was no longer in a barn. I think they had moved into a house. And I don't know if it was there close by. I'm not sure where that was. But they were in a house. It would allude to that. But they came and they worshiped the child and gave gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold, I think. And they also communicated there and they worshiped, but then an angel told them also to not take word back to Herod. And later, when Herod found out that they had already gone home, were not around, and they had not brought him word, it was very wicked, a decision that he made there to have a lot of babies killed in trying to eradicate this baby that was supposed to be a king. Now, if you think about it, the salvation of the whole human race was dependent on Jesus surviving and being able to fill his mission. And if you would put yourself in place of God, how would you send Jesus? Would you not send a big military escort, if you could, to make sure this child is protected? God sent an ordinary couple. People that were not even wealthy. and his son was born in a barn, in the very shadow of the enemy of Herod. Look at what measures he took to eradicate this child. God used very simple methods, and he accomplished his purpose. Jesus said, "He that seeketh to save his life shall lose it." Joseph received word in a dream about Herod's intentions, and he escaped before Herod even, when Herod did his evil act, Jesus was no longer there. You see, God can choose to know what you're going to do before you even do it. Where is a better place to be than in the hands of God? He knows it all. But anyhow, coming back to the story, after 8 days, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple. And when they come into the temple, there was an old man there by the name of Simeon who praised the Lord. He said God had promised him that he would not see death till he got to see this child that was going to be born, that was going to be for the salvation of Israel. And he communicated there. And then there was an old lady there by the name of Anna, who also rejoiced and prophesied. Simeon also prophesied. Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph and the baby. And then he said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You think Mary understood what Simeon was saying? I don't think she did. You know, the tidings that the shepherds brought when this baby was born. You know, Mary, having had this experience with the angel, don't you think that she thought that maybe when her baby is born, it's going to be supernatural, maybe something different? But it seemed just like an ordinary baby. And to every mother, her baby is extraordinary. I don't want to take that away. But if you think of what Mary went through when the people did not believe her, look at the affirmation, what this meant to her when the shepherds came, said what they did, and the wise men came and said what they did, when they came to the temple and Simeon and Mary, Anna said what they did. It says Mary pondered these things and she kept them in her heart. You see, Mary knew how hard it was to get people to believe something if it's not in the ordinary. It's not easy sometimes. The path that God had for her was not an easy road. And especially when she saw him hanging on a tree. And he did that for me and for you. But he didn't stay there. He was put in a grave, and the wicked people that had that done to him, they wanted to cover it up. They had him put in a tomb, and then they came to Pilate, the governor, and they wanted him to set a watch. And if I'm not mistaken, it was like maybe like 100 soldiers, I'm not sure, to make very sure that he never stands up again, that he stays there. But that did not hold him either. When the angel came, rolled the stone away, those soldiers, the elite of the military, if you will, that were in that day, they didn't stand a chance. They were as dead men before the might of that angel that came and rolled that stone away. And today, may God bless us all as we go forward, and may the day star arise in our hearts May we be a part of that light to the world around us. You know, God has entrusted us with the message of the birth, the death, the resurrection of His Son. And may we be faithful and earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.